wonder if we can have the light on up here. That'd be great. Hey, I found out at the beginning of the service here that my mic was on. So y'all found out that I can't sing, right? That's great. Hey, really missed being with you last week. I'm excited to be with you again this morning. We're going to continue in our study in the book of Jonah. You'll see on the back of your bulletin some notes that you can follow along. When we were in chapter 1, we saw that Jonah was running away from God, that God had told him to go and preach to Nineveh, and instead of going and turning to the left and going to Nineveh, which was about 500 miles away, he took the shortcut and went down to Joppa, down into the boat, down in the bottom part of that boat, and then God raised up a storm. And during that storm, he lost the drawing of the straws, and he was cast overboard, and he was drowning in the sea. That's chapter 1. And at the end of chapter 1, into chapter 2, we see that Jonah begins to run back to God, that God had stopped him from running by swallowing him by a great fish. He was there for 3 days and three nights, and he had to return. He was going one direction. He had to pivot and begin to move the other direction towards God, back to God. And when he vowed again that he would do what God told him to do, then God spit him upon the dry land. So we're going to get ready to jump into the third chapter here in just a moment. But Charles Spurgeon made a statement. He said that faith and obedience are bundled together in the same package. In other words, you cannot trust without obeying, and you cannot obey without trusting. So if you're going to trust God, you're going to have to obey God. If you're going to obey God, you're going to have to trust God. Now, throughout my ministry, I've had people say to me that they're trusting God. So I ask them, well, are you obeying God? No, then you're not trusting God. You can't trust God unless you're obeying God. And Jonah did not obey God the first time that God called him. And I think the simple reason was that he didn't trust God. He didn't believe that God really understood what he was doing when he was sending him to his worst enemies, Israel's worst enemies, in order to preach the gospel. And I think we're like that as well, aren't we? We don't trust God because we really don't believe that he has our best interests at heart. We really don't believe what he's doing is something that I want to do. So let me ask you some questions this morning. Are you trusting what God is doing in your life right now today? Do you think he really has your best interest at heart? Are you obeying what he's asking you to do? Are you trusting God? We just sang a song. Trust and what? Obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Those two things have to come together if we're going to really see victory. So after Jonah's death to self experience, after God had brought him to a crisis point, to the point where he had to come to the end of himself, then Jonah began to turn and he began to run with God. Now we're going to see his heart wasn't totally there, but at least he was obedient and he gave the message that God wanted him to give. So chapter 3, as we get there today, is going to show us the results that can happen when we're running with God. Now, I want you to stop and think about that statement. What could happen in your life and to those around you if you began really to run with God in obedience and trust? There's only one way to do things. That's God's way. And it's the only way to real spiritual victory in our life. So let's go to Jonah chapter 3. We'll read the passage. Then we'll have a word of prayer together and get in the message. Jonah chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. You see that little word now? That's the third time that that word has appeared in this book. So now, Jonah didn't have yesterday. Jonah didn't have tomorrow. The only thing he had is this particular moment. And this is the only moment you have to trust God. This is the only moment you have to obey God. And he said, now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. God was going to give him a second chance. God was going to give him a new beginning. That's what this chapter is all about. God giving us a second chance, a new beginning. He says, arise, go to Nineveh, verse 2, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose, and he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a three-day journey in extent. We're going to talk about that a little later on. And Jonah began, notice, to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then the city, he cried out and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, I want you to stop and think about this. He was obedient, yes. He preached, hey, in 40 days you're going to be overthrown. But in the back of his mind, I hope you don't repent. We're going to see that in the fourth chapter, Lord willing, next week. So the people of Nineveh, notice this. They believed God. And they proclaimed a fast. And they put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by decree of the king and his nobles or great ones, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn, notice that word, turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will, again, there's that word, turn. We turn, God turns. We're going to get to that a little later on. Who can tell if God will not turn and relent and turn away, that's the second time that word's used in regards to God, turn away his fierce anger so that we may not perish. Then God saw their works, that they had turned, there's that word again, they had turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had, that he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Let's bow together. God, we can all relate to Jonah. There have been times in our lives when we've just run away from your presence, away from your mercy, away from your mission. There are times when we've turned back and returned to you. And there are times, Lord, when we have run with you, doing what you've asked us to do. So, Lord, this is your scripture. This is your word. It's not important what I say, but it's extremely important what the Holy Spirit will say through the scriptures this morning to each one of us. So, Lord, I would ask that your Holy Spirit would be the one who causes us to understand your word and not just have information when we walk out of here, but a transformation of heart and mind and soul. So, Lord, bring that transformation to bear upon our lives. And whatever distractions may be around us, that right now, at this moment, are now, that we would listen to the message that you brought to Jonah, and a message now, thousands of years later, that you're bringing to us. So, Lord, we acknowledge you and ask that you will direct our path this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you know that God is a God of new beginnings? He's a God of fresh starts. He never leaves us where he finds us. And in about just about everything in our life, he's willing to give us a new start. Now, we have to remember, though, that in order to have a new beginning with God, and in order to have a fresh start with God, there's three things that have to happen. Number one, there has to be death. Number two, there has to be trust. And number three, there has to be obedience. See, new beginnings and a second chance comes, first of all, because of death. When Jonah had his first call and he ran from God, ran from his presence, ran from his mercy, ran from the mission that God wanted him to do, God had to bring him to a crisis point. God had to bring him to the end of himself. And he literally had a death experience. See, death to our will before there can be life to God's will. You'll never have a new beginning. You'll never have a fresh start until you come to the end of yourself, the end of your willfulness. Second, new beginnings and a fresh start comes because of trust. Look at chapter 2, verse 4. We just saw, or I should have had you turn to chapter 2, verse 6. He says, you brought me from the pit. You brought me from death. And before you can ever have resurrection, you got to have death. Death before resurrection. I forgot to tell you that, so I wanted to go back and make sure that you got that point. Now look at this. New beginnings and second starts come because of trust. Chapter 2, verse 4, I will look again to your holy temple. See, Jonah had been going one way. And God wasn't just looking for confession. Confession is agreeing with God concerning your sin. That's only the starting point. He was looking this way, looking for himself. He had to pivot, and he had to begin to look back to God and begin to move in the direction of God. So what God is looking for is trusting, a new look away from ourselves now to God. And in chapter 2, verse 7, it said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. We need a new remembrance. We need to remember who God is and what he can do in our life. So a new look and a new remembrance turns us back to God. So before there can be any new start, before there can ever be a new beginning in our life, we have to come to a new trust. Our old trust will always take us to Tarsus, will always take us the wrong direction away from God. So we have to turn and pivot and have a new trust in God. So we have to have a new look away from self. We have to have not only a new look, but we also have to have a new remembrance. Remember who God is in your life. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of you this morning, honestly, can remember a time in your life when God was moving more than he's even moving today? You can look back and say, man, this was a powerful time in my life. I was trusting God. God, I was running with God. I wasn't running away from him. I wasn't running back to him. I actually was where God wanted me to be at that particular moment. So we have to remember that it's we who have forgotten God. God has not forgotten us. So the third thing, in order to have a new beginning, in order to have a fresh start, you have to have obedience. Death. What was the second one? Just see if you're there with me. All right. Now, obedience. Look at chapter 2, verse 7. My prayer went up to you. Folks, prayer is our link. Prayer is what links us. Now, God links himself to us through the Word of God. If you're not in the Word of God, you're not going to be hearing from God. Now, I don't know about you. I've been in ministry over 53 years. I've never heard the voice of God. Now, I've heard God speaking to me, but I don't know what he sounds like. But I'll tell you this. This is what he sounds like. This is the voice of God for us today. And the thing that's important here is that we will always be able to turn and pivot in prayer. Prayer is going to link us back to God. Then if you look at chapter 2, verse 9, I will sacrifice to you, I will pay what I have vowed. Hey, he vowed to be God's obedient prophet. Now he said, I'm going to obey you. At that moment, God spit him back out on the dry land. And he had a second chance opportunity that we're going to be looking at and have been talking about already this morning. So before we can have a new beginning, before we can have a fresh start, we've got to have a new obedience. Let me ask you a question. Is your prayer, are your prayers right now going up to God in obedience? Yes, Lord, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. I'll go wherever you ask me to go. Then, what are we sacrificing to? Ourselves or God? Now, you can tell that by looking at your day timer or your phone or your checkbook or whatever. You know, you can tell what we're sacrificing to. It's what's number one priority in our life. It could be a relationship. Nothing wrong with that. We should be people of relationship. But what are we sacrificing to? And then, are we praying? And are we paying God what we've told him we would do? See, at some point in your life, when you come to faith in Christ, he's asked you to live for him. Remember that old hymn, living for Jesus? That's what he asked us to do. Now, notice a little word here. Now we're getting ready for chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1, the little word now again. Third time that word's appeared. Now, Jonah didn't have yesterday. Jonah doesn't have tomorrow. The only time he can obey God and trust God is right now, today. At this moment is the only moment you can lay claim to. And he says, now, notice this, at this particular moment, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Hey, Jonah was going to be given a second chance. A second chance. Has God been asking you and recalling you to something that you've run away from? He's giving you a second chance. He's going to give you a second chance. God may be calling you today, at this moment, to run with him again. Now, I believe we're given second chance. How many of you believe that we're given second chances, right? We're given second chances. Now, what if Jonah would not have responded to this second chance? Do you think God would have come a third and a fourth time? I don't know. Remember Jesus with the woman that was caught in adultery? And he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. What if this woman kept coming back, sinning again, sinning again, sinning again? I don't know. Now notice Jonah's first call here in chapter 1, verse 2, because it's different. He was told to cry against the city. Now in chapter 3, verse 2, he's told to preach to it. There's a difference. See, Jonah's experience at the sea and that death experience taught him about mercy. Remember we said there's one word you could write over this whole book, it would be the word mercy. Jonah experienced the mercy of God. Now God is asking him to go show mercy to Nineveh. What he applied to himself, was he going to be able to apply it to those that were his enemies? Now, while God didn't change, he had a more cooperative prophet. I'll put it that way. This is indicated by a little change in a phrase. I want you to notice this phrase. In chapter 3, verse 3, he arose and what? Went. In chapter 1, verse 3, he arose and fled. Every day, we have that choice to go or flee. To run with God or to run away from God? Has what God been doing in your life caused you to run because you're absolutely petrified of what he might ask you to do and what he might require of you? Are you obedient or are you more or less obedient? Are you flexible? More or less flexible. Are you running with God? Are you being drugged and pulled and you're dragging your feet and he's doing everything he can to get you to where he wants you to go? Note here that God promised to give him the message. When you run with God, you don't have to worry about the message because God will give you the message that he wants you to tell the people. Now, this is important. Yes, Jonah arose, and we're going to see in a little bit, Jonah was obedient and given the message. But I don't think we have any reason to believe, especially next week when we get in that fourth chapter, that he had really changed his heart towards Nineveh. Yeah, I'll preach, but I hope they don't respond. That's kind of where he was at. Yes, he went, but his heart wasn't wholly there. So Jonah could have gone like us. We could go and we could do what God asked, but we're hoping that the results aren't what is contrary to what we want. So, again, Jonah had to trust God for the mercy that he had learned to somehow try to apply that to the Ninevites. He had to obey God. He had to obey what he heard from God, even though his heart wasn't in the right place. Now, there are three results that happened because Jonah began to run with God. Even though his heart wasn't totally there, he was obedient. He went and he preached the message. Now, three things happened, three results. First of all, the first result was for Jonah. Jonah obeyed. Now, that was a change. Look at verses 3 and 4 here. Jonah arose, and he went to Nineveh. This time, notice, according to the word of the Lord. What had happened last time? He went on his own accord. He fled, went the other direction, following his own will. Now he's going at least according to what God told me to do. Now this passage is very interesting. There's two phrases here I want us to notice. The first one is exceeding great city. And the second phrase is a 3 days journey in extent. Now that first phrase, exceeding great city, has nothing to do with the size of the city, by the way. The literal translation is, it was a great city to God. God cared about Nineveh, even though Jonah did not. Jonah's heart was not for Nineveh, but God's heart was. You know, it's easy for us to not have a heart for Windsor and the surrounding community, to write it off, dismiss it as being sinful, turn our back on it. But you know what? I think God is weeping over Windsor and the surrounding, Severance, Eaton, Timnath, Loveland, Milliken. I'm trying to remember all that's around. Excuse me. I think Jesus would weep over it. I think he would want to gather it like a hen her little ones to himself. And we have to understand that it's a great city to God. Windsor is a great city to God. The surrounding area is a great city to God. So he wants us to go with the right words and the right living of those words. Words, but life to back it up. See, most people aren't rejecting Jesus as much as they're rejecting the church and the way we live. If they see genuine faith and a change and transformed life, they will respond. I really believe that. So let's remember that our city is a great city to God. Now the second statement here, second phrase, 3 days journey in extent, that does tell us a little bit about how large the city was. Now, early excavations, and even more recently, it's been amazing, they've actually found the actual walls. The actual walls of the city of Nineveh was 7.5 miles in circumference. And that's basically from Wellington to Fort Collins, just in circumference. Now, what's amazing is they think that the surrounding metropolitan area was 60 miles. That's from Denver to Fort Collins. That is a huge, great distance. Now, what's interesting here, it says that Jonah was a day's journey into the city. Now, a day's journey for a man was about 20 miles. So we can assume that he was about 20 miles into the city when he began to preach his message, which meant he was about a third of the way into the city. That's huge. Can you see Jonah walking from Denver, get about maybe to Longmont? And then he begins to preach. Now his message was simple. Look at this in verse 4. In 40 days, Nineveh is going to be overthrown. Yeah, I'm for that. He didn't have any problem with that message. He just hoped they didn't repent and return. And we're going to see his disappointment, Lord willing, next week. So the first response was Jonah's obedience. The second response was Nineveh fasted and repented. Look at verses 5 through 9. See, Jonah got to the point with his message, and the people got to the point in responding to this message. Now, Jonah's message here included both a warning and an overturning and a repentance. It's the same word. It's the word hapak, and which means to overthrow. And then with a different little slash over it, hapak, it means to turn around. So the message was very simple. Turn around or you're going to be overthrown. And the people responded. They had 40 days to get it together and turn around or God was going to destroy them. Now the king calls for a fast here. not only for the people, now this is interesting, but all the herds and the flocks and all the animals, they had to put on sackcloth as well. And this is what he said in verses 8 and 9, let us turn. See, it's not just confession. It's just not agreeing with God concerning our sin. It is pivoting and turning. We got to stop what we're doing. Let us turn from our evil way. Let's turn from the violence. Now notice the next statement. Who will tell if God will turn? See, first we turn. And God in response, he's going to turn. Relent and turn away from his first anger so he will not destroy us, that we won't perish. Now, isn't it interesting? God had turned and relented with Jonah. Now he's going to turn and relent with Nineveh. You'd think Jonah would want the same thing to happen to these people that happened to him. But again, just like Jonah now, notice this. First, there had to be death. They had to fast, and they had to pray, and they had to cry out to God. Second, there was trust. In verse 9, they believed God. Then there was obedience to God. They turned and they repented. So the third result here is God's salvation. Now, I don't know if they actually got saved in the sense that we think salvation, because later on they got into trouble again and they didn't obey God and they were destroyed ultimately. So I think it's more deliverance. They were delivered. They had their opportunity. So what God saw here was their works. He saw that they had turned, and he saw that they had repented. So then what God did is he relented. Hey, how about us? We may be heading for disaster. We may be heading for a crisis point. And right now, today, just like now in Jonah, if we will turn and we will pivot and we will repent, God might relent. Now, I honestly believe, now I'm not trying to give my political view, but I think God has had a little relenting for us as a nation for just a little bit more, waiting for us to repent. Waiting for us to return. Now, I'm not trying to make a political statement here. I'm just saying that God's mercy, we're not consumed. You know, God didn't relent until they turned. See, God is against sin, but it's for us. You know, in dealing with people that have been caught up with homosexuality over the years, this is their thinking. God hates homosexuals. I'm a homosexual, so God hates me. And the thing we have to begin to do with these beautiful people is to show, no, God loves you. It's your lifestyle, the choices you're making, that God wants you to turn from. See, we have to make a distinction between a person's sin and who they are. We believe the lies. And what we need is this truth encounter with God and His Word. Remember, when God sees our turning from sin, you think He's going to leave us there alone? Think He's going to abandon us? He responds to us. He responds to us. And the reason salvation, folks, came to Nineveh was because at the moment, Jonah was running with God. No, his heart wasn't totally there, but he went and he preached the message. And because he ran with God, change came to Nineveh. Now, what do you think could happen to the Ninevites around us, the people at work, people at school, people in our community, at the store, wherever we might find ourselves? What do you think could happen if we began to really run with God as an individual, as a family, as a church, what would begin to happen? I think we'd see some repentance. I think we'd see some turning. I think we'd see some response. See, there's only one way to do things. That's God's way. Remember, trust and what? Obey. For there's no other way to be what? Happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Let's run with God. Let's begin to experience a great spiritual power that comes with running with God. Let's bow together. God, I want to thank you for everyone that's sitting here today. You know where they are. You know where they've come from. You know what's troubling them. You know what's encouraging and motivating them. You know all about them. And Father, above everything, I would pray that we would be a people of mercy, a people who would turn again and run with God in fresh new ways. That we would learn, first of all, death to our own willfulness, death to our own way, bringing us into trust with you through prayer, through confession, through then repenting, and being an instrument. And it all comes, Lord, through your word. I'm reminded of Psalm 119. Wherewithal shall a young man or woman cleanse their way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. May we find ourselves a people of the word. And may that word bring change to us. Maybe we've laid our Bible aside for a while. Maybe we only pick it up on Sunday. Lord, I pray that we'll be people like Joshua, for the book of the law did not pour out of his mouth, but he meditated day and night that he might do all that was written. Lord, you have ideas for us. You have mission for us. And it's not the same for everybody. Each one has an individual thing you're doing in their life, that they might discover it in a fresh way, that they might discover new trust, new obedience, that they might leave here today with a new hope that, you know what, God can use me, and He is using me, and that you might give us an ability to weep over Windsor or wherever we've come from, Eaton, Loveland, Milliken, Severance, Timnath, wherever we've come, that as we drive home today, that we might see our city in a new way, that we might have love for it, compassion for it. Father, you're doing your work. Your spirit is here because your word is here. And you promised to honor your word above your own name. So, Lord, as the word goes forth from here, from our individual lives, that we won't be afraid to speak a word for you, to put our arm around somebody and love them and say, we care for you and we're praying for you. What can I do to help? And that, Father, you'd begin to grow this little church, that people would begin to come and they won't even know why they're coming, except that God and His Spirit has drawn them to this place. And as they sit under the Word, that you will encourage them and lift them up and mount up with wings as eagles, to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. And Lord, if there's anyone that's never given their heart to you, they know about Jesus, but they've never asked Jesus to come in and change their life, that they could know that if they confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in their heart that God has raised Him from the dead, they can be saved.
And they can have an eternity with you and fellowship with other believers. So Lord, if that need is there, that they would speak to somebody they came with, or speak to one of the elders here or myself, and say, you know what, I want to find Jesus today. What I've been doing hasn't been working, and I need Jesus. And for the rest of us who've made that decision, Father, help us to be people of joy, of love, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Those are all your characteristics. And if we're walking in the Spirit, they will be ours. Lord, I've got so much I want to talk to you about. But I just pray that more important, you talk to your people. These are your people. They belong to you. They're listening to you. They've come here today to hear from you. So whatever you need to say to them today, just say it. And give them hearts to respond. And we would thank you for the results. In Jesus' name, amen.